Open your Bibles, please, to Numbers, the last chapter, Numbers chapter 36. We've been in this book for about a year and a half now. It was in January of last year. We began as well as Hebrews. We just finished Hebrews, as with all studies, and thoroughly enjoyed this, going by verse, chapter by chapter, and learning more and more of the things that the Lord has done for Israel, and trying to take from that things that we might apply, that we could apply to ourselves. Now, it is a short chapter, and I didn't know what we ought to do. You know, we're going to stay with the program. We're going to consider the chapter, these few verses, and I took comfort. It's kind of a different thing, but I wanted to see maybe if I was missing something. So I took out John Gill's commentary, and I want you to know, if ever a man was at a loss for words in this chapter, John Gill was at a loss for words. It is short, 3 pages. So it's like, okay, I'm not the only one. I didn't even get around to checking what anybody else had to say about this. And I think you'll understand why when you see the topic. It's really just a reminder. Numbers chapter 36. Now, just to review what we considered the last time, which is helpful always to me, sometimes I'll spend a lot of time in this place and actually learn more about something that is helpful from the previous lesson that we don't normally bring, we can't bring later. I don't think it's appropriate necessarily, but we do make notes and want to refer to them later. In the 35th chapter, it's understood that Israel shall come to possess all the land on both sides of the Jordan River, east and west. And these lands were the former possession of several Gentile nations. And these nations had built a number of cities and villages there. Each tribe of Israel is going to receive an allotment of land from the Lord. And these allotments will vary from tribe to tribe depending on how large, how many families they have in them. And of these cities that Israel will assume, the Lord commands them to give 48 to the Levites. You remember that now? Now the Levites are the sons of Aaron, Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. And it's kind of funny how this works. You have to remember that? Because I've got a mental image of them camped around the tabernacle nearby. And I will literally start with the east side, work my way around to the north. And that's just how it works for me. It's funny. Thank the Lord for something that helps me remember things. Now, the tribes of Israel, having more cities, will give more cities to the Levites of these 48. And, of course, the tribes that receive the fewer cities are going to give less. But they all give something, okay? What cities these tribes gave, and how many? 48. They're all given by name in Joshua chapter 21. We've already discussed this. But of these 48 cities, and this is where we really landed, there's going to be 6 cities called cities of refuge. And these are cities specially designated to shelter any that have been involved in the accidental death of another. It doesn't matter if you're a stranger, a sojourner, or an Israelite. This city is for you if you've been involved in an accidental death of another. They're called a manslayer. These are. To these cities, the manslayer shall flee for refuge from this one that is called the Avenger of Blood. When this manslayer arrives to the city, he must immediately declare his cause in the ears of the elders. And I was saying a moment ago when I do reviews, I get to think a little bit more about it. And I thought this was interesting. Didn't get to share with you then, but maybe just give you a tidbit of something to follow through with. And that is, it's interesting that it was the Levites, the priests of the Lord, to whom was committed judgment, serious judgment, judgment that meant life and death for these who sought refuge there. They judged this matter. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, and you'll remember this, and he chides them in so many words, "Can't you judge the least matters? But you're going to law with your brother in the world? You're going to that law? Can't you judge the simplest matters? Don't you know you're going to judge angels? And who are you, by the way?" The saints of God. The believer priests, if you're in a church relationship. I thought that was so interesting. So anyway, I'm sowing a little seed for you. You can give some thought to. And who knows, you might jot a note I did in my Bible. One of these days, I'm going to refer back to it. But what these elders in the city did when they heard this man say what he said, they assume he's telling the truth. But in any event, they're going to give him, that manslayer, a place among them until he can receive judgment. And if it is determined that the manslayer is guilty of murder, they're going to turn him over to the avenger of blood, and he'll be put to death. That was serious business. But if he's innocent, he is allowed to remain in this city, in the walls of this city, and he has to stay there until the death of the high priest. If he leaves this city, he's liable to be slain by the avenger of blood. And there'll be no guilt in the shedding of blood. He was to stay in this place until the high priest had died. Now, there's going to be on the east and west side, because Israel claims both sides of this Jordan River, there will be three cities of refuge on each side. Each side is going to have one in the south, one about midway, and another in the north, so that people can get there easily, most easily. And that's important. The great care that the Lord has for his people, he's provided this. Now, here in this last chapter, chapter 36, the issue of Zelophehad's daughters has to be readdressed. It was decided, and that's why it's so brief, this lesson. It was decided in chapter 27 that the daughters of a father who had died during this time of their sojourn, and from this point forward, that has an inheritance of land, that if they don't have sons, but they have daughters, the daughters are going to receive that property. That was decided there in chapter 27. Now, if there weren't any daughters, then of course it would pass along to the father's brothers, and then from there it would go to his uncles, and from there to the nearest of kin, whoever that might be. But the point is, the property stays properly so to the tribe, you see, in this case, Manasseh. But someone got to thinking about this and has a question that needs to be settled. So, verse 1, "And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph," just so that you really know who we're talking about here, "came near and spake before Moses and before the princes," who are what? "The chief fathers of the children of Israel." So Manasseh, which shall have, they have a certain land grant. Actually, half has it on the east and half has it on the west, this tribe does. They came to realize that there is a potential problem on the horizon that needs to be decided now. The problem, this problem does affect every nation, but none of the other ones have understood what that problem is, except for Manasseh. They get a little bit more thought. I think because they're more closely associated with them that raise the issue. You know, sometimes it works this way for me. When a problem is brought up, and the closer it touches me, the more interest I have in that problem. And so I'm going to do something. I might have questions that need to be answered. I might do something that has to settle this because of that. And it's the same way for you. You'll do the same thing. And the more interest you have and I have in the things of the Lord as it relates to this church, you'll be more interested in what's being decided, what's being done by this church, the more closely you feel to this body. You know, if doctrine doesn't matter to you, when we are talking about doctrinal issues, you're not going to have questions. It doesn't seem to affect some like it does others, but it does affect us all. Whatever it might be is very important, but it is true. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but the closer we're touched with it, the more interest we'll have in, say, the answer to it. So the tribe of Manasseh, those chiefs of the fathers, came to, rather than grumbling's not good, they came to someone that can help them to get the answer. So they came to Moses, but they also brought it to all of the chiefs of the fathers of the nation of Israel, because they knew it affects all of them. We've got to do something about this. So they began to explain. And they said, verse 2, and they said, the Lord commanded my Lord. Now, right off the bat, when I read that, I thought Psalm 110, verse 1. It's very similar. My Lord said unto my Lord. Now, the Jews don't understand that this is referring to Christ saying to the Father. And in this case, it helps bring that down home, because my Lord, he's referring to Jehovah. My God has commanded my Lord, lowercase. He's referring to Moses. The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. They're all to receive a part. And my Lord, Moses, was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes, we see something's wrong here. We're going to follow this through. I want to, it's like explaining how they understand. This is how I understand it. If they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers. Manasseh is subject to losing some land every time this happens, because if our daughters marry into another tribe, what happens is that property then becomes the property of the tribe of the that the husband belongs to. So there is an effect, the possibility that a tribe could become diminished more and more and more as this goes, and another could increase the more and more. The possibility is that one could actually be done away with in the land. And so they saw this and reasoned it out and said this. Verse 3, I want to read it again. If they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. We just explained that. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. This property, in this instance, belongs to Manasseh. Judah's property belongs to Judah. Simeon to Simeon, and so forth. And so he proved the point. Now you see the mention of Jubilee. And when the Jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, we'll explain that, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received, referring to the daughters received by another tribe because they married a man of another tribe. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. So, the Jubilee was a time of release. Every 50 years, there was a national reset. We just read this in the book of Numbers, by the way. And what happens? I come in a hard time, and I might sell my property. Just an example. Sell my property to pay a debt. Now, the rule was that if I ever wanted to redeem that property, what I would do is, or the Israelite would do, is take and divide what's left of the note and divide that by the number of years that are remaining, and I pay that to the brother that helped me out of a hard place. And if I can't do anything until 50 years is up, what happens? I don't owe anything. The land comes back to me. Now, I might be too old to do anything with it, but it comes back to me in 50 years. That's how Jubilee works. Every 50 years is a reset in the nation. So that in this case, because the man is that the woman had married is of another tribe, at Jubilee, that doesn't even fix the problem. The property still goes to another tribe. So, verse 5. Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. Now, it wasn't that Zelophehad's daughter had said anything wrong. It got the things moving to that end. Because the Lord had said in Numbers 27, verse 6, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Why can't they have an inheritance when the father doesn't have sons? Why not? But there was need for more clarification. And so, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. Just to say something here. The daughters, now what? They have an asset. You've heard this said. You know it's true. If you're an adult, if you're not, you're going to learn it soon enough. But with every asset comes a corresponding liability. When I buy a mower, you know what I got to do? I got to learn how to operate that thing. I got to know how to take care of it. Buy a car, the asset is greater. There's more knowledge required, more things, peripherals you've got to have. You know, I've got the place where I don't want to buy another computer. I just don't feel like learning all this stuff anymore. But that comes with the asset. And so that's how it works. And these daughters received an asset, and there was a liability. That liability put them in a kind of a narrow way. You asked for it, and now you've got to live with it. Okay? This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, they didn't know what was coming. Let them marry to whom they think best. Now, yeah, it's always important, what? That you read the whole verse, right? You're always careful about context. Statements say things. You need to read the whole sentence. I could have stopped it right there and then, yeah, all right, we're good to go. It's not quite all of it. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. That's it. So shall not the inheritance, in other words, in this way, shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe. The lot of Manasseh in this case stays with Manasseh. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Everyone, it says, everyone. Meaning every Israelite, whether it's man or woman, is to, it says, keep himself. I looked around a little bit and it's translated in other places in our Bibles, is to join himself to his property. Never to be separated from it in this way. To cleave. It's just like Adam and Eve. They cleave to his wife. Adam would plead to his wife. Same word. Fathers having no sons but only daughters would only, listen, this is important for them. Fathers in instances like this that don't have sons, what would they do? They would only allow their daughters to marry in the tribe. And that's important. Such daughters would seek for them only husbands. Get that? Such daughters will only seek them husbands that are of the same tribe. They're not going to go flirting. Manasseh's daughters aren't going to go flirting with the sons of Judah. You know what I mean by that. They're not going to get the googly eyes for one of Judah because no. You're not supposed to do that. There were intermarrying of daughters with others, men in the other tribe, but not allowed for them that have inheritance in their tribe. That's not to happen. This brings up a very, very practical thing for us. They were only, these daughters, particular daughters, would seek for them only husbands of the same tribe. They were to marry only in that tribe. Let's say this. Everybody here knows this. Christians should only marry in the Lord. There's not a question mark there. Christians should only marry in the Lord. A Christian man or woman should never seek to marry anyone that doesn't share in the same heritage. What do I mean? The same lot, same part with Christ. How much clearer can it be? Look, marriage has trouble as it is even between Christians. We all have trouble. Paul said, I'll spare you. Remember that? Christians have trouble. But to marry beyond, you're going to vex your soul. Why would we bind ourselves to one that is unbelieving? To them that are still dead in trespasses and sins. To them that are in spiritual darkness. They can't understand anything about the Lord working in your life. To them that are subject to the direction of what? The prince and power of the air that now works into what? Into children of disobedience. This is a serious thing. I want to read this. Quoting this man, the Christian must wed a fellow Christian. From earliest times, God commanded that the people shall dwell alone and shall not be numbered among the nations. His law unto Israel in connection with the Canaanite was this: neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt not thou give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. How much more then must God require the separation of those who are his people by a spiritual and heavenly tie than those who occupied only a fleshly and earthly relation to him? The scripture reads, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I know that's it's broader than just marriage. I know that. But it includes it. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers is the clarion order to his saints of this dispensation. Partnership of any kind of one who is born again with one in a state of nature is here prohibited, as is evident from the terms used in the next verse. Terms like fellowship, communion, concord, part, agreement. That's important. Don't even consider, if you know the Lord, my sons and daughters, don't even consider an unbeliever. Don't. It's going to hurt. Proves true every time. So verse 8. And every daughter that possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. It will always be the pleasure of that tribe to have this land. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. For Mahlah, Tirzah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, they didn't rebel. They heard what he said. They obeyed. They were married unto their father's brother's sons, cousins. And I thought that was interesting because it is true that the closest that the scriptures would allow in Leviticus chapter 18 is to marry the cousins. And matter of fact, I did a little checking again. I believe I did it back then too when we were in Leviticus. But even some of the laws of the land prohibit marrying cousins. But that's what they did. And that was as close as you may marry according to the scriptures. Now, and they were married into the families, these daughters, of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. Their issue, their question was settled. And thank the Lord they raised the question. And I know sometimes it's, you think about it personally, it's hard to ask questions. You have a meeting, is it any questions? But it's important to ask questions if you have one. Now it says, these are the commandments and the judgments with the Lord, which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses unto the children of Israel in the plains, notice that, of Moab by Jordan, near Jericho. Now, I just want you to remember, as we move into Deuteronomy, the Lord willing, the phrase plains of Moab is a name given for the plains that are in the southern area on the east side of the Jordan River, above the river Arnon. Now, it used to be, this property used to be Moab, but it's still called by this name. It used to be Moab's property, but remember, they lost it when they were at war with the Amorites. Numbers chapter 21. Israel came into possession of this land when they fought against the Amorites as they made their way up to the place where they are presently. They took it from the Amorites, and it's theirs now, permanently theirs. It's their inheritance. Technically, here the plains of Moab appear to be the property or inheritance of the tribe of Reuben, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 8 and 12. Now, since the children of Israel came into the plains of Moab, all that has been commanded has fallen between this issue. I thought it was interesting. When the daughters of Zelophehad raised this matter, what about us and the property of our father? To this point, everything falls in there. Zelophehad's daughters complained. In chapter 27, 28 and 9, the Lord establishes the twice daily burnt offerings, the weekly offerings, the monthly offerings, and two annual burnt offerings. Chapter 30, remember there was the establishment of vows. 31, how to divide the spoils of war. 34, setting the boundaries of the nation of Israel. 35, the Lord commands Israel to give to the Levites 48 cities, six of which are cities of refuge. And then here, how every tribe is to keep himself to his own inheritance, not to move from place to place. All of that took place here. So the Lord has allowed us to complete this study in the book of Numbers. And I've so enjoyed the fourth book of the five by Moses. Thank you so much for your attention.